Thanks said, be glowing with the Spirit, you know, like a stove. I remember when back in Virginia, we had a wood stove and a coal stove. And sometimes your stove gets so hot, it gets red. Yeah. You ever seen an ember, a piece of wood, you know, that's glowing, that's set there like that? You're just blowing a little bit. It's red hot. So the scripture is telling us we need to be red hot. And that's a choice. But be filled with the Spirit. And notice how this happens. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Speak to one another. You know, I think sometimes the emphasis I felt impressed was that word in the song, strength. He gives strength to me as I worship thee. And my mouth is filled with praise. And he breaks the bands as I lift my hands. What does he do? Breaks the band as I lift my hand and gives glorious liberty. Amen. Today would definitely have been a day to chill. Today would have been a day to just stay at home and do nothing. But I said, I can't do that. I got things to do. I got places to go. And I said, Lord, you're my helper. Amen. But it was kind of amazing to me. And when I heard that, you give strength to me, I thought about last week when we were referring to these passages of scriptures here, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then it said, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something about us making melody in our heart to the Lord that draws or it causes that strength that within to arise. Do you know that you and I, as born again believers, there in our spirit, there is a like a dynamo. It's self-energizing. And it can be stronger at times or it can be weaker at times. It all depends on us. Well, let's put it this way. We can be stronger or weaker, but it is always strong. But we can tap into the strength of it. We can tap into it. But it has to is motion activated. Is activated by faith. And you think of Jesus and the things that he went through, especially before he went to the cross. The people are still trying to figure out, where did he get the strength to do all that he did? They said there's no way humanly possible that anybody in the physical body could have endured the things that he endured and made it through. Well, that's according to the flesh. But when we look in the scripture in Hebrews chapter number 12, hold your place there in Ephesians. Hebrews chapter number 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You have resurrection life living on your inside. It's on deposit. You know, you're involved in banking. You have an unlimited supply. Oh, glory to God. It's like having unlimited funds. It doesn't make any difference what's going on. You can always make withdrawals and they'll never be marked insufficient. Yeah, it's that supply. Hear this. That supply is within you. That strength is within you. We don't have to go nowhere to get it. We just have to stir it up, activate it. And when we do, it changes everything. I'm telling you, we can change our atmosphere around us. It doesn't make a difference what is going on. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what is going on. We can change the atmosphere for what's going on around us. Of course, we look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. We find out that our words play a big part in that. Hebrews 11, 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You know, in this world, people, they understand, they seek knowledge of the visible side of life. And oftentimes they do not become educated where the unseen side of life is concerned, because they think they are just a flesh and bone body. But the truth is, you are a spirit. And as Smith Wigglesworth said, you are 1,000 times bigger on your inside than you are on the outside. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if we have that much more capacity on our inside, why not delve in and find out what's on the inside more than we do on what's on the outside? As I was saying something yesterday, talking, they're teaching these kids now math called Common Core. And I heard one father who's a college educated man. He was like really upset. He said, I was so frustrated because I could not teach my second grader how to add the way they're teaching it now. They talk about they want the people to think. Well, they're thinking anyway. It seemed like a lot of confusion. But, you know, they said, well, that's the way it is. And there's a few folks that tell everybody what you're going to do. Unless you decide to homeschool. Yeah. And if you homeschool, you still can realize that 2 plus 2 is 4. 4 times 3 is 12. 12 times 12 is 144. You know, but Common Core is not that simple. They said they don't want you they want you to think about what you're saying. They don't want you to memorize anything. And I said, well, okay, I can see why people get away from the scriptures. See, Common Core takes you away from the scriptures and sound reasoning. You know, and just accepting things that be like they are. They said, well, it can't be that simple. But it is. But our capacity is greater on the inside. Now, I'm not surprised that where the world is concerned, that the world is trying to do everything from the natural side to understand and discover things from the natural side. But we are more than just natural. We are supernatural. And of course, we know what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read over there. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning with verse number 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been what? Freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Oh, which the Holy Spirit teaches. Huh. Did you know the Holy Spirit's a teacher? Oh my God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If believers would gain an understanding of who they are, what they have, and what they can do, it'll revolutionize things here in the earth. Amen. Wow. We emphasize or attempt to emphasize the things that we have, the things that we can do, why we're here on the earth. Not everything's not over in the sweet by and by. See, that's what religion does, is put everything over there. But then here on the earth, then we operate like mere men. But the scripture teaches we are not mere men. We are supernatural men. When you become born again, I'm telling you, the very life of God, supernaturally, instantaneously, miraculously, comes into your spirit. The same life that the Father God has in himself, the same life that Jesus had and exhibited here in this earth, Zoe, is the same life that comes into us. Oh my. I'm thinking, I don't think I've heard anybody, any preachers, maybe except with the exception of Joseph Prince, in the last few years, really talk about eternal life, Zoe. Now, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to what? Steal. But he said, I am come that you might have what? Yeah, that you might have Zoe. He didn't come that you may have a new Cadillac. He came that you may have Zoe. That was a need that mankind had. So Jesus made it available. He came that we may have life and that we may have it what? More. One translation said overflowing in us. Overflowing in us. Now, when we get a true picture of what God's plan was and is, and we began to step into that image and put our life under that template, it changes everything. You will begin to excel way beyond your contemporaries. And you don't even have to go to college. Because the Spirit of God begins to teach you. He begins to instruct you. As I said on this morning, just awakening, you know, one of the first things I say in the morning is, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father. And I say that. I tell you, sometimes my eyes, like, you know, they get toothpicks and open them up. But I always greet them every morning. Of course, the Holy Spirit's living here on my inside. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. Good morning, Father. Now, what we acknowledge is what we're conscious of. And as the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and counteracted those thoughts that came into my mind of how I felt, I realized, man, that's power right there. You know, welcome to the empowerment zone, huh? There's power right there in understanding just that simple song. He gives strength to me as I worship thee. And my mouth is filled with praise. And he breaks the band as I lift my hands and bring glorious liberty. Oh, hallelujah. It brings glorious liberty. Now hear this. I could have just ignored that thought, that suggestion by the Holy Spirit. I could have just ignored it. Said, man, you know what? I don't know. Let Mary get her own breakfast this morning. I'm telling you, let her go buy something, you know. And I tell you, I just don't feel like it. You know, you can talk yourself down. You can talk yourself down into a dungeon. And you know, when you really don't want to do something and somebody asks you to do something, you can really talk yourself down, way down, that they have to help you to get out of it. You can talk yourself into a pit. You know, when you really don't want to do something, you really make a situation seem real bad. Where my lumbago is acting up. My toe is acting up. This is going on. Oh, my. And, you know, and just by the words of your mouth, you're just sinking. It's like quicksand. Yeah. Hear this. Just spiritual quicksand. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Oh, my. It's not up to God what happens to me. It's up to me what happens to me. Because God has made everything available. It's all right there on tap. You perhaps remember the days if you ever did any drinking like Jeanette. Or you go and they have beer on tap. All you have to do is just push the lever. And out comes the beer. Same thing is true. When you push the lever of the Spirit, there are things that flow out of you then. Oh, my God. It's on tap. And it's pressurized. Glory to God. Whoo! I said it's pressurized. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. And it's at the right temperature, too. Oh, glory to God. So, back to Ephesians, chapter number 5. I think I need to get me a little television show going where I can sit down and just talk these things and put them out on the internet and put them out on TV stations. I mean, it's like the Lord has blessed me with some stuff to say. There need to be more folks hearing that. I'm telling you, my God. Hallelujah. Back again, verse number 19, Ephesians chapter 5. It says, speak to one another. I tell you, that's one way to get strife out your house. If you got strife in house. Of course, if you're at the house by yourself, you shouldn't be in strife with yourself. Some people act up just in the house by themselves. You know what? You know, you ain't gonna make me run all over town today. I ain't gonna do this. I ain't gonna do that. And your spirit is telling you, come on, let's go do this. No. I'm telling you, I ain't gonna do it. Just talking to yourself, you know. But here the, speak to one another in psalms and hymns. And what? Spiritual songs. What's a spiritual song? Songs that come up by the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit ever give you some lyrics to some things? It's now with all these smartphones, it's a good thing just to record it. And sometimes go back and play it over. Holy Spirit may give you more words to it. It could be a number one seller. You know, someone said ideas are a dime a dozen. The only one that make money is the ones that people act on. And the Holy Spirit give us a lot of ideas and suggestions. Like I said, sometimes what the Lord gives us is disguised at work. And we think, man, that's like I said, it's like the president of Mexico, manual labor. Now, I ain't doing that today. But manual labor is okay. Amen. Just get up and write it down or record it. And I'll never forget the time I was in Texas, and they have this huge water tank at Brother Copeland's ministry, and they had emptied out this tank. They were getting ready to do some cleaning. And for some reason, I just felt impressed. You know, it's probably the entrance to it had an opening about this high and around like this. And I stepped into it. And I said, hello, 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 hello. And somehow or another, I had a Panasonic tape recorder with batteries. And I did it on my birthday. I began to feel the Spirit. Oh, man, it was heavenly. You would have swore that it was like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was backing me up. I mean, it's just, it was angelic, the voices and everything that I heard just by being in that environment. If I'm not mistaken, I still have it at home in my special drawer. I would have to get it out and maybe dump it onto a CD or make an MP3 file of it. But it was angelic. And I would play it for people. They didn't know where it come from. And I just put it on, you know, at work, and I just let it play. They thought, oh, man, that's man, it sounds like angels music. They said, where did you buy that at? Well, I said, I didn't buy it. I just went out in the water tank, and I just recorded it. That environment. And hear this, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I can hear myself singing in that tank now. And I hear all the voices, the echo, everything just kind of running together. Oh, my. Marion, when I first met her, one of the things that was like attractive about her, she had some cassettes of angel music, angel singing. And she said, listen to this. And she would just play it. And of course, you know, her hand up in the air, the little finger running around like a roach, you know. Yeah, I'll tell you, boy, she's in the spirit. And then the finger just going up there. I said, okay. I said, you're like alien. You're feeling things out there. I know that's what you're going on. But anyway, she would play that, and she would just shift right from one place to the other. Just playing that. And I found out you can control your environment. It may have been a bunch of mess going on, but once you put that on, all of a sudden, you either going to enter in or you can get up and get out. Because it calls for the environment to change. Oh, praise the Lord. Did you hear what I said? It calls for the environment to change. You know, today we're in there tabbing newsletters and all. And I put my phone on. And it was over by Terry and Deborah Lee. And I had Hillsong. They were playing on a Pandora. And it's just one song after the other, one song after another. And you notice, I just listening to them, man, they just grab them, run along with the song. And every now and then they get a little louder than the song. See, that's impacting the environment. Now, I'm telling you, something happens when everybody kind of fall in line with that. It shifts everything. When that shift takes place, you need to be open for answers. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom in an environment like that. All of a sudden, you begin to see things that you weren't able to see before. People don't understand the value of worship and putting this into practice in their life. They don't understand the power of unity and worship. Because the Holy Spirit unlocks and unleashes things in that atmosphere. Why? As we read from Psalms chapter 133, the latter part of verse 3. There, the Lord has commanded the what? The what? He's commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That place of what? Unity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That place of unity. So, again, we can shift things, change the atmosphere. Oh, my God. You know, if somebody just go off on you at work and you just want to give them a piece of your mind, don't do it. Refrain from it. Go into your secret place. If you need to go get in your car, go get in your car. Turn your CD or whatever on your iPod or whatever and shift the atmosphere. Because the devil is trying to get you to respond in the flesh. He's always trying to pull you back over. The scripture talk about us walking in the spirit. We either can walk in the spirit or we can walk in the flesh. And we have to decide what we're going to do. And this is applicable in our everyday life. See, in Psalms chapter 9, David said, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. You ever seen people praise God with half their heart? I just want to praise you. Looking at their nails. Some people stand there clipping their nails. I'm like, they ain't doing that with their whole heart. They mind somewhere else. They're double-minded. And of course, you know what the Bible said about a double-minded man. James said, and he ain't going to get nothing from the Lord. They're off on some galactical experience. They say, I just want to praise you. Somebody stand there biting their fingernail. Some looking around, looking at other people. It's like, oh, man, we can just get everybody to shift over in that place of oneness. No telling what will happen. I believe miracles will be released just in that atmosphere of everybody stepping in. Oh, hallelujah. The scripture said, God inhabits the praises of his people. David said, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Now, if you tell about all the Lord's marvelous works, you ain't got time to be talking about nothing else. Not much of anything else. Huh? You don't have... Because when you begin to look and see what the Lord has done, I mean, just go and talk about what David realized that the Lord has done and what he's doing. It's okay to do that. When you just go back and see what the Lord has done and you realize how God is, how majestic he is, how wonderful, how loving he is, man, oh my God, when you just talk about that, you ain't got time getting a bunch of foolishness. Yeah, you don't have time for that. Now, hear this. When you're that way, people are either going to be drawn to you or if they don't want to change, they'll walk away from you. To them, it's like this. What a crude example. You ever walk into a place and somebody you see walking up ahead, they have released gas? And you go, oh my God, and he just turned to go back the other way. That's when you're walking in the spirit, and people that don't want to walk in the spirit, that's the way you are to them. They just turn around and go back the other way. Oh my God. But the presence of the Lord is good. Verse number 2, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Notice he said, verse 3, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Notice, for you have maintained my right and cause. Notice, when my enemies turn back, they fall at your presence. We need to be carriers of the presence. I'm telling you, our life need to be like we are carrying the Ark of the Covenant with us at all times. At all times. There's such a thing as having a God consciousness. Now, it just won't happen overnight. You have to intentionally drive in that direction, because the world is going in another direction. Somebody sent me an email the other night. I was infuriated. I clicked on it. I was like, oh, no, my God. It was porn. And it was, the thing is, I didn't know it. And I don't know, it's probably somebody got somebody's email address that I knew. And just happened to be a minister that I know out of state, and had his name with it in his picture. And so I just clicked on it, and I clicked on it, and I went, oh, my God. I just turned it off, you know, of course. But I'm like, wow. There are people, that's all they focus on, stuff like that. I'm like, man, how limiting. You know, they fulfill in the flesh. We're looking to fulfill the spirit. We're looking to walk in the spirit. But some people are walking in darkness. You know, I'm okay with me being me. You know, some people, they would have a challenge with me because I'm running after God. Some people are not that committed. Some people say, well, I don't think all that's necessary. But yet I have friends that I can call, very few of them, less than 10 around the country. I can call and we can enter into a godly conversation, and we can begin to take notes from just talking, because things begin to come up by the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden I begin to see things. They begin to see things. And you just begin to write things down. See, that's somebody's moving in the same direction. But some people that get together, all they want to talk about is fleshly stuff. Other people, worldly stuff. When you go back and look at 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15, I think it is. Oh, my God. I guess if I'm going to let y'all talk, I need to hurry this along. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. It says, do not, what? Love the world. Now, who's he talking to? Yeah. He ain't talking to the world, because the world going to love the world. Yeah. The world going to the cabaret. They going to that. They going to that cruise. That drinking cruise, you know, for 8-day cruise. Well, they know they're going knowing that they're going to get drunk. They're going to do all kind of stuff. They're going to Vegas. They know they're going to Vegas. They're going to go there and they're going to gamble. They're going to do a whole lot of other things. And like I said, what happens in Vegas, they're going to try to keep it in Vegas. But, you know, it don't stay with you in Vegas because it's still in your mind. Yeah. So it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, notice these three things. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. These three things. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life is not of the Father, nor is of, but is of the world. But is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away. Also the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen. Forever. So, I hit one more scripture and I'll try to wrap this up. Don't be drunk with wine, Romans chapter 4. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be glowing with the Spirit. Some people say, oh, I got spirits. I got spirits from Jamaica. I got spirits from all the islands. Every time they come back, they got several cases of spirits. Yeah, but a different kind of spirit. Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse number 19, speaking of Abraham, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about what? 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Sound like Abraham was a worshiper. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Oh, hallelujah. He was strengthened. Abraham tapped into something that most of the world never tap into. But yet it's available to all of us. It's available to who? All of us. The scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. Not because you feel strong, but because it's a key to strength. What you say. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Now, if the Bible says say it, then it's up to you to say it. I can't make you say it. I can put a gun to your head and say, say it. You can say it because I put a gun to your head, but it have no spiritual impact on your life because it's not in your heart. So, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord.